You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, welcome back to the third and final hour of this week's special holiday installment of TPC. It's just 2 days after Independence Day, Saturday, July the 6th, 2019, year of our Lord. Great to have back with us Sean Bergen, our good friend, and for so many years correspondent here on TPC, the former television newsman, has been in the Trump era, for by and large, a rebel without a cause. We had typically for years in years past brought Sean on during situations where Black Lives Matter was getting out of hand or you had some of these urban riots. But there hasn't been that much going on recently, although in Memphis a couple of weeks ago we had a dust up where some of the Obama supporters put about, 34 police officers in the hospital. But it's Memphis, so that barely made national news. But Sean's still the best in the business. He is a pro's pro, and we need to start working him in much more frequently. A peer he does not have. Sean, welcome back. I would begin the interview by saying this, or rather the conversation by saying this. I have said for the last several months that President Trump has not lived up to the hopes that we had from candidate Trump. And there's been a lot of reasons for that. The border, there's still no wall. We're now into the third year of his first term. So I think we had hoped for more. But I will tell you this. The Democrats have actually absolutely given the president a gift in the terms of their first debate. I mean, what they are saying now in these debates, Sean, is absolutely, and I don't mind saying this word, frightening to me. It is almost beyond belief that they could and would say these things with a straight face. This is a gift to Donald Trump. What was going on in those debates? That is one thing with all the hustle and bustle of being just a weekly show and not a nightly that we frankly have not covered it to the extent that we should. And now we bring Sean Bergen on to help us do just that. Sean, take it away.
Yeah, it's great to be back, James. Glad to be here. You know, every now and again, when I see what's happening out there in the world, I just feel this overwhelming need to be on the political cesspool because I think we are at times just a light, a beacon in the darkness. And beginning Absolutely. With the Democrat clown car, being that clown show that they call the debate. Tremendous gift to Trump and the Republicans because. What Trump's real master at is getting the left to reveal themselves for who they really are. And when you see a fake Hispanic like Beto O'Rourke get up and start addressing an American TV audience, national audience, in Spanish, only to be outdone by Senator Spartacus Cory Booker, who I actually knew pretty well when he was the mayor of Newark. It seems to me now Spartacus is into the human trafficking game now. As literally going over to Mexico to walk illegal aliens across the border. Who do they think is going to be voting for them? That's what I ask myself. I mean, do they really think, are they playing to the illegal alien vote? Because I don't know any clear thinking American who's going to look at that and say, oh, you know, what a great idea. We're beginning to see now the Democrats are just, a bunch of power-hungry jerks. They don't really care what they have to do in order to retain power. And all the open borders thing is just a big Democrat voter registration drive. They are convinced that these people are going to come in and vote, whether they're legal or illegal. They don't want any kind of voter ID at the polls. They are willing to allow heroin and fentanyl and MS-13 and human sex traffickers, a lot of them preying on children, to just waltz across our southern border so that they can stay in power. And the more they do that, the more the American public sees them for who they really are. And what they fail to recognize, because they're so desperate, is that we don't just have Republicans and Democrats in this country. We also have this group called the Independents. And it's the Independents who quite often swing elections from election cycle to election cycle. And anybody with an ounce of common sense can look at what they're doing and say, these folks are literally trying to undermine the Republic. Yeah, there's another female congresswoman, I forget her name, who actually has operatives now in Mexico trying to coach these people on how to get across the border. A lot of them are showing up with kids who are not theirs. You have to ask yourself, you know, how many of these people are actually engaged in trafficking children. Democrats don't really seem to want to address that topic. So, you know, this Democrat primary is basically going to turn into a circular firing squad where these blithering idiots, these Nimrods, are going to push each other further and further and further to the radical left. I mean, Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, came out of the blocks as the front runners. But what the Democrats don't seem to really recognize is that they've been preaching about how our government is run by old white guys. Well, who are their two leading contenders? Two old white guys. Which leads me to think that Kamala Harris is probably going to be their go-to girl as we get deeper into this campaign, as evidenced by the fact that she's now being represented by Clinton hatchet man Mark Elias from Perkins Coie, the law firm, D.C.-based law firm, that seems to be at the center of gravity for just about everything that's corrupt happening in our government today. And I'm talking mostly about the Spygate scandal that is slowly unraveling before our eyes. Perkins Coie was the firm that the Clintons paid money to give to Fusion GPS so that Fusion GPS could pay Christopher Steele, the former MI6 agent, who then went out and paid a couple of longtime KGB disinformation agents by the name of Trubnikov and Shurkov, and that's where he got the information for his dossier that really was the impetus for the FBI going out to get full surveillance, FISA warrants to spy on the Trump campaign. All of that now is starting to slowly unravel. From what I understand, Christopher Steele now has agreed to speak with officials, American officials investigating this. Michael Horowitz, who's behind the inspector general behind the highly anticipated IG's report, according to a report filed by Catherine Herridge from Fox News yesterday, is now getting a bunch of people who were formerly uncooperative now to come forward at the last minute to give information on the FISA abuse. I don't think it's going to be long before we start to see indictments rolled out. And a lot of these guys who are at the center of it, Comey, McCabe, Brennan, Podesta, all of them, eventually getting arrested and charged. That's where I see that going. So, this cesspool that was the Obama administration for so many years is now finally coming to be reckoned with.
So much to talk about with Sean Bergen, former television newsman, with regards to current events. We are here 3 hours a week and no more than that. And with commercial break, it's not even that much time. And we've got to take another one right now. We're going to continue on with Sean just for a brief minute or two with regard to where the Democrats stand right now in their primary process. And then we're going to get to other events. There's so much news that has happened within the last couple of weeks that we really need to get to. And we're going to see what's on Sean's deck when we come back. Stay tuned, everybody.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, we're back with the incomparable Sean Bergen, former television newsman up in the Big Apple, the New York media mecca. And for so many years, he's been coming on our show, and we're all the better for it. And we're talking tonight about some of the Democratic contenders, the Democratic primaries. And by the way, Sam Bushman made mention of the fact in the commercial break, Sean, that the Congresswoman's name we were talking about in the previous segment is Veronica Escobar. And she actually is in O'Rourke's district. She's the one who's sending people down there to coach the illegal aliens to come in and how to do it the right way, if you will. But anyway, what we have said here for so long on this program, Sean, is demography is destiny. Demographics is destiny. And I was thinking that now 3 years into his term, the fact that Donald Trump has failed to deliver on the border wall would really cost him, potentially cost him in his reelection campaign. All a Democratic nominee would have to do is keep his head down and say little controversial and let demographics take its toll, because we're very, very near, as we saw in the midterm elections, very near Florida turning blue. Texas even turning blue within a few thousand votes of that happening. If a Democrat could just shut up, perhaps they could just win by default, because we know with these illegal aliens, it's basically a Democratic voting drive. 9 out of 10 are going to vote for whoever the Democratic nominee is. But they can't even do that, Sean. As we saw here in the most recent debates, they're talking $51 trillion for slavery reparations and all, just giving their campaign stump speeches in Spanish. I mean, this is the stuff that will rally what's left of the Trump base, what's left of the American, let's not even call it the Trump base, let's call it the American base, that will motivate our people into action. At least I hope, because I think we'll all agree, even if he's fallen short of his candidacy, Trump is much better than Hillary Clinton would have been, and certainly whoever the Democrats will put up in 2020, which is coming fast. But Sean, your response to that and any other news you want to cover tonight?
Well, yeah, look, I mean, the demographics are troubling. And when you see a state like Florida and Texas, by God, at a tipping point and ready to, starting to slide into that shade of purple that becomes
Because if they go, not to interrupt you, Sean, but if they go California, if Texas and Florida goes to California, the Republican Party will never compete again in the history of this republic ever on a presidential election.
Well, they're going California because there's so many damn Californians who are from California, and then they go to Texas and they bring their crazy Democrat ideals with them. They're like a bunch of locusts. And in Florida, you've got people escaping New York and New Jersey en masse. But they bring their crackpot liberal ideology with them wherever they go, and that's, you know, and then they go in and they just destroy the next place, and they blame it on somebody else. And unfortunately, that's just the nature of liberalism and progressivism. These are people who simply cannot hold themselves or their ideology to account. And I think, you know, it's we're getting it from both sides. We're getting people coming over the border, but we're also getting people fleeing these blue states and taking their blue ideals with them, which is really troubling when you talk about like Texas and Florida, you know. So I guess we shall say, look, nothing will unify the country better than than what we saw over the 4th of July with the 4th of July celebration in Washington, D.C. And at the same time, you have those on the left just revealing their outright hatred for everything that Americans hold dear. You know, Trump was making it all about him. He delivered a dynamic speech that wasn't about him at all. It was about the country. It was about the military. And anybody, you know, the people on the left are very fond of prefacing everything they say with, you know, I support the troops. Well, you know, the rest of the country is able to see right through their nonsense, especially when it surrounds a holiday like this and that kind of a display. You know, so Trump's gift is in setting up the left for to reveal themselves for who they really are. And that celebration, that 4th of July celebration, I thought, in D.C., was a masterstroke. Now, while we're on the subject, it's been my understanding that today our favorite crowd, Antifa, have reared their ugly head again in the nation's capital today.
Oh, yes.
You know, out there assaulting anybody wearing a red bull cap, regardless of, you know, what their background is. I was got a text from Scoop Stanton earlier today. That an African-American woman wearing a MAGA hat was assaulted by Antifa. Just last week in Portland, we saw that gay Asian reporter, Andy Ngo, was beat up so badly that he actually had a brain hemorrhage. And then you see lefty journalists coming out trying to, you know, diminish it or minimize the seriousness of this. You know, this Antifa crowd has been very troubling for a long time, and they are really starting to infuriate folks on our side. Honorable men, you know, upstanding men, military men, people who embrace law and order and don't go for this level of chaos, especially when they're allowed to run rampant in the streets of Portland because the mayor there, Wheeler, gave the police the stand down order. I mean, when you have cops standing there watching people get belted, I mean, it wasn't just Andy Ngo. There was another elderly gentleman who was belted over the head with a crowbar. His face covered in blood. I mean, these are serious felony assaults. And when you have the mayor ordering the police to stand back and do nothing, like it's their right to, you know, to go out and physically engage in felony assault, destruction of property, vandalism, whether it's burning flags and then, you know, I mean, it's just, there's no end to it. And I think people are really, really starting to become infuriated with this Antifa crowd and the way that the left just sits in stony silence and doesn't want to say anything about it. I mean, if these were a bunch of Tea Party folks or MAGA folks out there with red hats assaulting others, it would be Pearl Harbor headlines on every paper. It would be the lead story on every major newscast. And yet they sit in stony silence and they say absolutely nothing. They are complicit by omitting this from their newscast and not calling it out for what it really is. It's political violence that I think is only going to ratchet up as we get deeper into the summer when indictments start to unravel. Now, look, while we're on that stuff, a lot of people who say, oh, well, you know, what can we do? What can I do? I recently joined an organization called the Men of War Society. And it's a little bit of a plug here, but I think it would be of interest to your listeners. Went through a 5-day crucible down in Central Florida. A lot of military guys there. We had one federal agent in there with us. We interviewed 145 guys for 12 positions. Only 10 made it through the 5-day crucible. But we are beginning a movement of warrior-minded men, businessmen, entrepreneurs, CEOs, a lot of very heavy with law enforcement and military. This is the brainchild of a guy named Rafa Conde, who's a really fascinating guy out of Florida, martial arts guru, made his first million at 25 on Wall Street, chucked it all very shortly after, and became a cop down in Florida, worked undercover narcotics for 9 years, was a SWAT team commander. His second in command is a currently a SWAT team commander on the federal level. We do all kinds of neat training, from force-on-force firearms, active shooter scenarios, knife fighting, hand-to-hand combat. If there's any one of your listeners out there who are interested in growing or joining a growing brotherhood of men who are, you know, the kind of guys who stand up and have no problem facing down evil, they may want to go to Google and go to the Man of War Crucible, the Warrior Development Academy.
Wow.
Just an unbelievable bunch of guys and our kind of guys. And I think it would really appeal to some of the guys out there in your listenership.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sean, for informing us of that. I was unaware. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Man of War Society. We started, like I said, they interviewed 145 guys for the first group that I went through with. I mean, we had, a former a Harvard-trained attorney who was a sniper with Colombian Special Forces. We had a former Swedish Special Forces guy who was also a member of the Swedish Olympic shooting team. Three former Marines. I mean, it was quite a crowd, and lucky to call these guys my brothers.
Well, Sean, you hear the music. We got to continue this with you, brother. We got to have you on more often. I think dark days are ahead. You now see where even the Washington Post is saying you have to stop extremists from coming into restaurants, and they're talking about Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Eric Trump as their extremists. That's where they're drawing the line now. We have got to stand firm, and people like Sean Bergen are showing us the way. We'll be
exposing
right back.
Corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Small communities in the Mojave Desert are reeling from a magnitude 7.1 earthquake, the second major trembler in as many days to rock Southern California. Officials say so far the injuries are minimal. Ridgecrest Police Chief Jed McLaughlin details the calls they received since the earthquake struck around 8:20 p.m. local time.
We had two reported structure fires. Then there were several natural gas leaks at residents. Our water system is intact and operational. Nothing but minor injuries and such as cuts and bruises, as the grace of God.
The aftershocks are continuing, as does the potential for another large event. After the July 4th earthquake, which registered at 6.4 on the Richter scales, residents are playing it safe. This is USA Radio News.
Do you wish you could get better sleep and maybe lose a few pounds? Maybe more than a few pounds? Well, there's this product called Calitrin that helps with both sleep and weight loss. Just listen to what people are saying about it.
I've been taking Calitrin for right about 3 months, and I've lost 24 pounds and 19 overall inches. But my sleep has improved, I have so much more energy, and I have the desire to succeed more than ever. Anyone who needs weight loss, more energy, and better sleep, this product really does deliver.
Hi, I'm Roger. Over the 3 months that I took the product, my sleeping habits are increasingly much better. I got a better night's sleep, and I just can't say enough about the product and how it makes you feel. Also, additionally lost a little bit of weight on the program as well.
Hi, this is Erickson. I take Calitrin for weight loss, and I've lost about 20 pounds, and I feel great.
Calitrin is scientifically proven to help with sleep and weight loss safely and effectively. Check it out at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.
Before he left the White House for the weekend, President Trump disputed claims that some of the border detention facilities were in a crisis state, overcrowded and filthy with not enough supplies.
I've seen some of those places, and they are run beautifully. They're clean. They're good.
He also said the detention cells are overcrowded because the Democrats won't allow him to close loopholes for asylum seekers. Salt Lake City police say they now have positively identified the charred remains they found as those of Mackenzie Lewick, the college student who disappeared on June 17th. Police Chief Mike Brown speaks about her family.
Despite their grief, We hope this will help them find some closure and justice for Mackenzie.
Luick's body was found in a canyon about 85 miles from Salt Lake City. Some remains were found in the backyard of the man police arrested last week. You're listening to USA Radio News.
On a special holiday edition of TPC, we have featured a lot of music tonight, and we come to the end of the show with Rule Britannia because Jack Ryan, our weekly correspondent, takes the British side in the Revolutionary War. Jack, take it away. But it is a great song. I'll give him that.
It is a great song. It was also sung by just a great popular classical singer, Catherine Jenkins. And she's a babe. She's a great one, great song. But I do. And you want to be patriotic or patriotic there, but no, I take the British side. I wish that British had won. I take all the losing sides of the ones, the British side in the Revolutionary War, the Confederate side in the Civil War. I told you my grandfather fought in the White Army against the Communists in there, and we haven't had a lot of wins from our side in the last two centuries, but there. So I hope everyone is celebrating this great patriotic weekend. I'm barely alive. Basically, I said I had two motorcycle accidents there, so I'm bruised, bloodied, but I'm still alive through this weekend. So I want to give my best to our listening audience, and there's a couple of days a year up there. I keep a low profile. I try to survive 4th of July, Halloween, and New Year's Eve, and I get to get bloodied and bruised, but I'm still alive. So give my best to my audience.
Hey, so much to unpack there, Jack. So you had a bike wreck. We know that. You had a back wreck.
Yeah.
Even though you celebrate the British, we're still glad you arrived. And I don't have a problem with that. I mean, the sun never set on the British Empire, at least at one point. Now they don't even control the streets of London. But all I would say to that is, and you know how I feel about modern-day America and the American flag, the Yankee flag, the federal flag. I mean, you know how I feel about that. The only problem is, when compared to America, Britain is even worse today with regard to the homosexual agenda and all of the everything. A Muslim mayor of London, I mean, all of that stuff. I mean, they're just a few years ahead of us, just as bad, but a little worse. So I get it. There's nothing much to celebrate in terms of modern America with the flag and so on and so forth.
Go ahead.
No, that's all I was going to say. I mean, they're as bad as we are, and in fact, even a little worse. A little worse off.
Well, they've lost more. There's a lot of curses going around. I think that there's some dying Confederate soldier that put a curse on me with big city northern miseducated women. I'm just like having just dreadful. You think it can't get any worse? I'm being stalked by this woman. She meets me and she doesn't show up, and then she tries to text me and have these things. So like that's really bad. But yeah, I wish that the British Empire, the best things. I wish that with British that controlled Hong Kong or Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, where the inflation rate is 1,000%. You go back and forth. But I like to try to take this day. People want to have a patriotic day, like the French want to have Bastille Day, which is like a pro-French day. And you want to get into the things like it was this royalist jail at one prisoner got off, and they had to be for these French revolutions. But Americans want a patriotic day, and that's fine. That's good. We don't want to go into too much, but the Declaration of Independence written by Thomas Jefferson is the most stupid, ridiculous, nonsense thing written before John Lennon's imagined. Like, I want to read to you the Declaration, a part of it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, these governments instituted by men, deriving the just powers from the gun of the government, blah, blah, blah. So just think, if you're a patriotic British guy in England and you got this up, and like, what's going on? I'm like, well, the American colonies are rebelling. Well, what's their issue? Well, there are these Freemason slave owners in the United States that are mouthing off about human equality and liberty. I'm like, what? You know, and if Thomas Jefferson really believed in complete human equality, well, why was he a slave owner? And you're just like, what? He wasn't quite as equal as some nobleman in England? I mean, come on, give me a break. So these things happen. We've got it. We've got to own. But let people wave the flag, be patriotic, have a good weekend, and then we've got to move on to this stuff. But this, this human equality. No way, man.
I get it, Jack. But you got it. And we had this conversation. I know we had this conversation a year ago this week.
Right.
I know we talked about it last year at this very same show. Right. But I mean, we know that there is no way that the founding fathers could have envisioned what the drunkenness of liberty and freedom would become. Okay, so. We know that they were already drunk on the Enlightenment, and that was one of their fatal flaws. But they had no idea. What Jefferson meant, and you know this, he meant every white man in America was a king. Every man like him was equal to King George. I mean, that's what it was about.
You know, everyone.
He wasn't talking about homosexuals and women and all of these other people were equal to the founding stock. I mean, if they believed that, they would have put that in there. And Jared Taylor of American Renaissance, he did a video about how every equal white rights movement from abolition to homosexual marriage has hijacked Thomas Jefferson's words from the Declaration of Independence. And, you know, this phrase was meant, the all men created equal, was meant to justify independence from England, not to give women the vote or promise mass immigration.
Oh, yeah.
You know, federal judges, Ho Chi Minh, Chinese college students, they borrow these words from Jefferson to promote ideas that Jefferson himself would have thought were preposterous.
Well, I just feel he was getting carried away. You know, we all have our bad nights. I'm not going to say I never had a bad night. I never had a few beers and I said something stupid or some other stuff. But, like, if I was a representative of the king of England, I'm saying, you know, you should be lucky that you live in this British, like, white world, you know, and then, like, why don't you plant your own crops? You know, why don't you harvest your own crops? And you wouldn't have so much free time to be mouthing off this stupid stuff about this other thing. Because look at the situation of today, like, the population of India is 1 billion people. Population of Nigeria, Ghana, there must be, like, 400 million people who speak English, and they have an equal right to move to the United States of America. So what would it be like in Tennessee if 200 million Ghana? I deal with these cab drivers, Lyft drivers, and they're good people. They're hardworking people. But we can't embrace every single man on planet Earth and say they're equal and bring them in our country. That's just insane. So these things. But we don't want to get too much politics. We want to be patriotic. Do the flag. But I'm happy that I've survived. At least I'm not dead. I had two motorcycle accidents there, but I'm not dead, so I'm happy. I'm trying to get through the weekend, so that's my hope for the show tonight.
Well, you know, you had that motorcycle accident, and the pepper spray was in your back pocket, and I heard
that
it erupted.
Sucks, man. Just terrible, like, stupid things that you do. Okay, you got pepper spray, like, Chicago's a rough town, so I'm always armed with, like, a blade or some kind of stick or something. So I've got pepper spray, the hardest kind. And stupid me, I had it in my back pocket. And so when I got in the accident, I got up and I tried to put the tarp under my motorcycle. And then the pepper spray went off in my back pocket. So I got, and this thing is so hot. So I got just burned my back, my ass. Like, and I'm trying to play it off like nothing wrong. I've got this stain and then just I'm being burned. And it's like, oh, wow. It's like instead of a guardian angel, I have a satanic person that's trying to just mess with me, humiliate me, and do these stuff. So I hope our listeners are having a better weekend than I am. Like, I'm not only not only got killed, but incredibly embarrassing to have a pepper spray go off in your back pocket. Terrible stains and just terrible burns. It was not a good deal.
Well, you're on the mend now, and I know you had a hot date this weekend, so, you know, it can't be too bad.
Not really a hot date, like just a crazy. I got these women stalking me. They what are they going to do?
Well, hey, you're on TPC now. I mean, you're going to have to deal with women stalking you. I mean, that's just part of it.
It's not. They weren't TPC listeners. They're other. Yeah, they. I would love to have some TPCs. And just like me, for like I say, or just go and have a lunch, or just show up on time. So these dates. They say, okay, I'm going to meet you like 6, and then they're an hour and a half, 2 hours late, and then they go and they come in, and they're just there to mess with you. They're trying to do this thing. So that's what's going on.
I know you can discipline them, Jack. Now, hang on, because the music's playing. And I don't know, are they allowed discipline in Chicago? We can still discipline women here in the South. That's one thing that's carried over. Yeah. Anyway, we got to take a break. And when we come back, a little bit more about Thomas Jefferson. It is 4th of July weekend, after all. And then we'll see what Jack's recommendations are. Stay tuned. One more segment tonight.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, so we're talking with Jack Ryan tonight, who takes the British side in the Revolutionary War. To that, I would only say that wherever we are, they are further down the road to perdition. And although we would invite any British women who are listening to the show tonight to email us, and we will set you up on a date with Jack. He is available, and he is most eligible. Now,
he's also a good Jack, partner dancer. He's a good partner.
A hell of a dancer. As you knocked him dead at Brad Griffin's wedding, did you not?
Yeah, I was. I was the best dancer there, yeah.
Well, speaking of Brad, we mentioned him in the first hour, so let's go ahead and close with it here. He writes about the misery of 4th of July weekend. Brad writes, I'm miserable on July the 4th. I don't object to the concept of American independence. If the American Revolution had never happened, I believe the colonies would have eventually become independent anyway, like Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Although I don't object to the concept of liberty either, no one wants to live under a despotism, and liberty wasn't a social problem before it was usurped by liberalism. The problem, Brad writes, with the American Revolution wasn't the brave men who fought for American independence. It was the philosophy of civic nationalism that intellectuals enshrined at the heart of the American Revolution. The notion that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights is destructive to the social order. The leveling spirit unleashed by the American Revolution didn't stop with the British monarchy, and since it has never been contained, the Enlightenment was intellectual rubbish that has had grave consequences. So that was the thing, Jack. I mean, Thomas Jefferson didn't write what he understood and what anybody living at that time understood it to mean, that he and George Washington were equal to the king as white men in terms of their rights under God. He was not meaning that women were equal to men and homosexuals were equal to people who were not perverted and transgenders were equal to homosexual. It wasn't all about that, but that's what it has been interpreted as being today. And in his own comeuppance, as we're talking about Thomas Jefferson, we see now that the People's Republic of Charlottesville has ended the celebration of Thomas Jefferson's birthday. Now, he basically founded that city. He certainly founded the university. And in Charlottesville, the University of Virginia would no longer celebrate the founder of the university's birthday, Thomas Jefferson, as an official holiday. Rather, they will celebrate the day that they were, quote-unquote, liberated by the Union Army, March 3rd, 1865. So, I mean, that's where we're at. So Thomas Jefferson has got his comeuppance as a result of all of this Enlightenment Kool-Aid. So there's that to consider. But nevertheless, a great man in many ways. I don't think any of them, in all of the wisdom they may have had at that time, could have foreseen what was coming. And we have too much freedom and liberty now. We absolutely have too much freedom and liberty in this country. The freedom to marry another man, the freedom to sodomize children. I mean, whatever they're going for. And the worst is still to come. As bad as it is now, no one in the 50s could have foreseen then where we are today, nor can we foresee where we will be in another 50 years at this current trajectory. But that was not what Thomas Jefferson had in mind.
Well, anyway,
I would just go with that, Jack.
Slightly to differ in that, you know, I thought he was a great speech that got carried away. And the founding fathers had lots of great talent. And my favorite president, I think George Washington is the best president of the United States. He was an honest man, not an emotional man. He had good advisors. He was not a violent person, but if there was violence, he had to step up. He would step in and he would win the one. But people were, there were all kinds of things, all kinds of intellectual things like coming up. So another guy I really liked is John Adams. And John Adams had this really bad wife, Abigail Adams, and she was this real feminist. She was mouthing off, and she said, like, after the Constitution, like, it's like she said to him, says, I see you've written the Constitution, but I see that you've neglected some group of people that you haven't said, and you haven't given women the right to do this. And if you don't give us this right, there's going to be a second revolution. Yeah, but then John Adams wrote back to his wife. I said, I read your letter, and I added, I had to laugh. And there's no way in hell that we're going to allow you women to give this feminist stuff. That would be the end of civilization. There would be slave revolts, Indian things, and you better stuff. And then she just wrote back to say, well, I didn't think it was a very generous one, but I'll accept it. And so, like, John Adams, I think, was very good. George Washington is the best. I think Thomas Jefferson was just kind of having a bad day when he wrote this one, and otherwise, you know, we all have a bad day or something like that. It's like, okay, the eccentricities of the French Revolution, the Reign of Terror, the Haitian slaughter and stuff like that. You know, it's like, you know, they're there. But everyone is entitled to have a bad day. And I'm having a bad day, bad week. And I had two motorcycle accidents. I had a pepper spray collapse in my back pocket. I got burned. So I had a bad day. So I'm not going to, like, damn Thomas Jefferson just because he had a bad day. He said something stupid. But he just did. So he just, like, that's it. But that's not the rest of us. We're going forward. We're being positive. Things are looking good in all kinds of the world, but, you know, no, we're not going to accept John Lennon or Thomas Jefferson, the idea that every single human on planet Earth has an equal right to move to the United States of America. We're not going to do that.
Well, I don't think Thomas Jefferson thought that either, but, of course, that's how it's being interpreted now and how it's being perverted. But anyway, all right, so we know your musical recommendation tonight was Rule Britannia because you take the British side, but you know, in the Revolutionary War.
Right.
And like I said, I mean, we're going to say ultimately what the difference in us winning and losing, or rather the founding fathers winning and losing the American Revolution, was about 20 years difference between where Great Britain is today and where we are now. So that was the whole thing was fought to retard us 20 years from where they are currently. That ultimately that was the end of it all. So that being said, that's your musical recommendation, Rule Britannia. A great song, nevertheless, if you can harken back to those days when white men were white men in Britain, which is our ancestral homeland, by the way, of course.
Right.
But let's get to the movie and book recommendations.
Okay, my book recommendation is a repeat, and I did this last year. It's The Genet Mission by Harry Amman. This was the representative of Revolutionary France. So in the Revolution War and stuff, it was a royalist France that gave us the money to take the side against the British, and then we won, and then the French monarchy got overthrown by this revolutionary things like that, and they eruption went. So the representative was Citizen Genet, and he was in United States of America, and after the war, Hamilton wanted to make peace with England and do mercy, and then Genet was trying to incite hatred to England and try to get them to take Revolutionary France's side against the England and General Washington, President Washington says, like, no, we don't want to do that stuff. And Genet was really obnoxious and hateful of President Washington. He was a king and things like that. But things happened in Revolutionary France where he fell out of favor. So if Genet went back to France, he would have been killed. And so Genet applied for asylum to the United States of America. And a different guy who wasn't as nice and there of Washington said, like, well, F you, go back to France and get kicked off. But Washington said, okay, I didn't like what you did, but he gave him asylum in the United States of America. And that just shows you what a great leader President Washington was, the best one. So that's my book recommendation, The Genet Mission by Harry Amman. Now, my movie recommendation, I was going to change, but the movie recommendation I have is The Out of Towner, starring Jack Lemmon and Neil Simon. It's about a Midwestern guy who gets a job offer in New York City, and the whole city just abuses him, insults him, and messes up. Everything goes bad, so that's my weekend. My weekend is like what's going on to Jack Lemmon and The Out of Towners, and anything that could go bad, motorcycle accidents. Pepper spray in your back pocket. I haven't been to jail yet this weekend, but the weekend is still young. So that's my recommendation, The Out of Towners.
Well, Jack, give your backside a break. No more no more cycling with the pepper spray in your back pocket.
Go off with guns. If the guns could go off in your back pocket, you could blow off your private parts or something like these things. So anything that could go bad, to me, is like, as so far it's gone bad this weekend, so I'm still alive and I'm happy to talk to our audience, but I don't, you know, the July 4th is not a good weekend for me. New Year's Eve, Halloween, bad things can happen to them. they've happened to me.
Ain't that the truth? I'll tell you what, Jack, you stay safe out there. You know, Chicago has enough dangers inherently without you having to go out, you know, on a motorcycle with pepper spray in your back
Chicks
pocket.
Like,
I'll tell you what.
Motorcycle, though. I mean, like, why would women be interested?
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
They like it. Otherwise, they just want to take your money or some gang members in Chicago are more respectful of my private property than these women. They're mercenaries. They want to take to you and take your money and do these things. So, but I love our listeners in the great state of Tennessee, where I spent my best best years of my life. And I don't want to name ones, but my girlfriend's been few and far between, but very high quality, including a couple of girlfriends, one from Tennessee and one from Texas. So happy Independence Day, pro-America Day. Don't let me rain on your parade. You can be pro-America on July 4th. You can wave the flag, you know, American flag.
Hey, it's a hard thing to do, whether you're pro-British, pro-Confederate. Who flies the American flag anymore?
Right.
Anyway, Jack Ryan, thank you so much. Stay safe out there. We'll see where you're at next week. Good night, everybody.
Hope to be alive.
Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend. Yes, we hope you're alive too, Jack. I'm James Edwards for the rest of the crew. And our special guest tonight, Lacey Lynn. We'll see you next week.